Hi, this is Cherie Barnes, and you are listening to the Healing Group Community Podcast, where you always have your memories. This podcast is sponsored by the Healing Group Community Podcast. On tonight, I have the authors of the Triumph Over Grief anthology. The anthology was written out of a pause because there is so much grief and trauma and loss that's going on in our communities. And the authors of this anthology were brought together so that we can share with the world what grief looks like, what it feels like, and how we move forward in our lives. And so the authors of the anthology are myself, Ms. Val Kemp Davis, Ms. Michelle McKinney, Ms. Irene McRae, and Ms. Janice Taylor. I am so privileged to be able to have Ms. Michelle McKinney and Val Davis on the podcast this afternoon. Welcome to the podcast, ladies.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
And so this has been a dream of mine since my first published book, which is 12 Lessons of Healing Through Grief. And I really wanted to bring together others who had strength, who were courageous, and who had the tenacity to keep moving forward in their grief journey. And so we collaborated together on the anthology. And when I tell you, what came out of this anthology was amazing. So I don't know who wants to go first, so I'm just going to pick on somebody. But please tell our audience about who you are. Let's talk about your chapter, because the chapters in the book were amazing. I mean, I cried after reading everybody's chapter because everyone had something that they needed to say and something that they wanted to share with the world. And so I want to know what you've been doing since the anthology and any last thoughts or ideas, or how can people reach you? And so I think I'm going to pick on my person. Ms. McKinney, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Please introduce yourself to our audience.
Well, thank you for having me. I am Michelle McKinney. I am a licensed clinical professional counselor. I got my degree from Chicago State University, and I have been doing counseling and supervisory work since then. During this time, life has changed for me. Since the pandemic, I am now doing telehealth, and that is a learning curve because everything I do now is computerized. So I do have clients that I see, but it is over the computer. For me, it was a huge adjustment because I was used to the face-to-face. So prior to doing telehealth, I was actually doing counseling with individuals in a clinic. What brought me to counseling was a story about 20 years ago when I met an individual who had just such a traumatic life. And actually, I never even wanted to be a counselor. I actually wanted to be a police officer. So I always tell everybody it's a strange journey going from a police officer to a counselor. But hearing someone's story and hearing the pain and hearing what this person had to go through, it just really touched my heart. And I wanted to be in a different position in my life. And I didn't want to be the person that had to determine, you know, someone's, I call it their faith in life, whether, you know, I put you in jail or something, why not help you? And so from there, just went back to school for community counseling. And I've been there ever since. So whether I've been in the managerial role where I was supervising clinicians or direct service, which is what I do now. And I love it. And I love being what I call my clients, a partner. You know, I'm your partner in your journey in life. And so that's what I do now. what I love about this experience that you gave me to be a part of this, I don't know, it's like a spiritual, I call this a spiritual awakening.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it was. It was, because for me, this book, it just shows women and just people in general that we all hurt, and collectively we can learn from each other. And so for me, my loss came from myself. You know, my chapter is losing myself. Mm-hmm. And the reason I call it A Light in the Storm is because my life went from just being this mother, wife, stepmother, person in management, to someone that was laid up in a hospital, and it was a storm. And just my life stopped. It stopped. Who I was not anymore. You know, I went from someone that could do things for herself to someone that was almost like an, and I put it in this, my chapter, an infant state.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've shared this story with just other people, I said, God had to humble me, because I got to a point where I was doing too much. I didn't know how to stop. And I got all of those warning signs. And, you know, I say, and I'll actually go to one part in the my chapter, and I said, I reverted to an infant state. I can no longer independently care for myself at all. This literally happened within a 24-hour period. It's as though my body shut down, you know, and my days passed. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was I could feel myself becoming fatigued. I could feel myself becoming tired. I could feel my body saying, you need to stop. Maybe you don't have to cook every day. Maybe you need to go lay down. Maybe you don't have to work a lot. Maybe something needs to stop about you. But I kept going and I kept going. Mm-hmm. And I would let the headaches pass. And then I stopped. I had to stop. Why? Because there was nothing else I could do. My coworkers took me to the hospital one day at work. God bless that they were nurses. And they said, something doesn't look right about you. We need to take you now. This is in the middle of a work day. Remember, I'm the worker. I got to get stuff done.
Right.
So they said, you can't. You can't. And just pulling just a couple things out of my chapter, I said, why me? What did I do so wrong? You know, there was anger, despair, sadness, fear. I kept asking myself, who am I? What is going on with me? So the doctors diagnosed me with MS. Never knew what that was until I had to study it. Okay. Didn't know, you know, this was not anything I ever thought would happen to me. And honestly, I think it was a little bit of arrogance that I had to say I could do everything. And actually the world went on without me, you know, and so from there, you know, it's a pause that I take right now in my life. You know, I think for me in my chapter, I just told the story of how I lost me in the midst of being everything I thought I was supposed to be.
I'm shaking my head right now as I'm listening to you, because we do that all the time. We keep going, 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 and we don't take care of ourselves. We don't even do the basic self-care that we need, and sometimes we suffer because of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And it hurt me. And that was 2015, mm-hmm. and this is 2020, and I still have to remind myself, remember, you can't do it all.
Right.
You know, and so as this pandemic is happening, as, you know, the concerns over, you know, the protests and the riots, and we've had to change our whole life because of everything that's going on, I ask myself, what can you do? What can't you do, and what you need to give to God?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for me, it's learning don't go back and do things how you did before. And just learning balance. And so if anyone can take something from my chapter, it's you know, in the midst of what we think life is going to be, we have to find that balance, because we can't do it all. We can't.
So what have you been doing since you participated in the anthology? What is your world looking like now?
Well, now I want to just be a part of different avenues where I can talk to women. I actually was on a talk last week with women, and it was wonderful. And we were just talking about how to be during this time. How are you supposed to feel? And so I think that's what I enjoy doing right now, just reaching out to other just other women. A couple weeks ago, I was actually on a call with women that are not Black, and they just wanted to understand how they could help. You know, how they could help, how they can understand during this time. So I've actually been a part of just reaching out to others. I actually have not revised my website, and I'm going to work on that in the next couple months, to be able to just have other things on there. So I don't want to give out too much right now.
Well, that means we have to keep it in, because we need to know what's going on with you.
Yes. It is. I'm excited about what it's going to look like, and okay. So, but I can't give out too much right now.
Okay, we'll wait. Yeah. We connect to each other, so I'll be able to share that. But how can people get in contact with you? If they want to know more about your story and your journey, how would they do that?
They can email me at drwoman, drworwoman at yahoo.com.
Can you repeat that one more time?
D, and it's all lowercase, D-E-R-O-R, woman, all one word, at yahoo.com.
Okay.
And Dior means freedom. And I always say it's woman of freedom. Yeah.
Wow. So you are taking us on this journey, which we don't know what it's going to look like yet, but you are taking us on a journey of freedom as you begin to continue, as you begin one, but as you continue to connect with others, to share your story and what's going on in your life, and just continually to be a helper to others.
Yes.
Wow, I'm excited, and I can't wait until this new website gets revamped and there's new content and new things you want to share with others. And so we have to have you come back on the podcast so that you can share with us what your world is going to look like from several months now on to the future.
And I was able to participate in a book with 50 women across the world. And I'll post that on the website, 21st Century Women.
Okay.
And so it's 50 of us in a book. Yes. So it was a fantastic experience.
Okay. So people can connect with you in order to get that book as well?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They can. All right. 21st Century Women?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, man, like I said, it's stuff just keep coming. And so I'm excited to be able to share with my audience and just with others about what one of the authors in the Triumph Over Grief anthology has been doing since it's been out for the last year. And so, Michelle, I thank you so much for joining me for this interview.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. And so now I'm going to introduce our next author. Miss Valerie Kemp Davis was one of the authors in the Triumph Over Grief anthology. And so, Val, welcome again to the Healing Group Community Podcast. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Thank you for accepting the invitation. And so just tell everybody who you are and just give us a background about your chapter and what brought you to the anthology.
Well, again, my name is Valerie Kemp Davis. I am an author and I am the founder of Caritas Collections, which is an imprint publishing company. And under that banner, I do a lot of community activism and motivational speaking and pouring into people. My platform is Embracing Culture and Enriching Lives, and collectively we carry this. I, to date, have 2 children's books, and I am a part of this anthology, Triumph Over Grief. My background has been in correction since 1985. I started out with the Georgia Department of Correction, and then after close to 8 years in that state, I transferred over and began work in the Illinois Department of Correction, where we met and became friends.
Yep.
I have a background in counseling, and I also have worked as a senior parole officer. Life is a journey, and in it, you have your personal and your professional triumphs and losses.
Yep.
And so in this journey, I have always loved to write. Was writing on the side, like writing with my side chick or my side man. So I was kind of giving some time to him, but I wasn't, you know, like really saying, okay, we're going to do this thing. We're going to abide, like my right. pastor about today. We're going to abide and we're going to stay together forever. In the course of just having some challenges, where I have had to be off because of injuries on the job, God has pushed me into another realm where he says it's time. And we look at stuff and we wonder why it happens to us when it happens, but I was doing what I was supposed to do the whole time, which was writing these different things. I have been called a midwife because I help pull people's purpose out of them, especially you. I do consider myself to be a cultural curator, and I love to teach people about diversity, cultural tolerance, inclusion, and such. And if you look at the world today, that's right where we are having issues. We're not inclusive. We don't have tolerance. We're not diverse. We have ageism, sexism, racism.
Come on now, Val, talk about it.
You know we got it. Yeah, and as a result of it, it has put a chasm in our society, not just the American society, but global. Right now, the pain and the woes of the earth are omnipresent, effervescent. You see it, you feel it. And so what are we going to do? So you have to be prepared for the storm before the storm hits. And I believe that God was through my pain, where in 2017, I was promoting my first children's book in Jamaica. My mom was on her journey out of the world, and I didn't even know it. And she could have passed near the end of my, because I was in Jamaica for a month, near the end of that journey there. But God said, I'll give you a little bit more time so you can have the desire of your heart. Some prophetic women in Jamaica told me that she would have to leave. And God is gracious. He started preparing my heart then, but they said, she is going to wait on you. And I promise it is as what they said. And so she held on for probably about 2.5 weeks in the crisis where there was a hurricane in Florida. I was like one of the last few people to be able to get on the planes, me and my kids, before they shut it down. Mm-hmm. And the storms were swirling outside of the hospital. And I remember watching my mom struggle between life and death. I knew we was getting close to the time, and I was saying, Mom, I'm real selfish. I want you to stay here, but I know you gotta figure this thing out. It's between you and God now. And I was like, whatever it is between you all, let his will be done. And it's on you, because see, God promises 70, which is 70 years, but everything and anything past that, that's on us, per the Bible, based on our strength. And I know she had been fading And even though I called her Soldier, that was my nickname for her, because as many medical problems she had, she seemed to be more than a conqueror and an overcomer. I could tell she was getting weary. And so I remember just talking to her and watching her try to work that thing out. God is so good. I was there to be in the room with her. I am the only girl. She was the only girl. Her mother was the only girl. And her grandmother was the only girl. I was there with my two girls. That was one of the last things that she had wanted. And her eye did open. She'd had a stroke, another stroke, but she was able to look at us as she walked from time to eternity. Mm-hmm. And I remember screaming as it was about to be over. And you know, they say, your hearing is the last thing to go. I remember screaming. And I was thinking, after I started writing this chapter that you so graciously asked me to be a part of, did that kind of make her want to back off and stay a little longer because she could hear my pain, my anguish, mm-hmm. you know, and she was going down that corridor to the marvelous light. Did that kind of make her back up a little bit? But whatever it was, I had to put on my big girl panties. Because I read in Don't Block the Blessings by Patti LaBelle, she said a woman don't really become a woman until she loses her mother. And now here I am with my kids having to hold me up, because I promise you, I fell straight back like I was crazy. And right. They had to catch me, and I was screaming. And when I was screaming, I promise you, it was a spiritual thing, because I remember hearing her mother scream for her mother, which was my great-grandmother, at the wake. And I promised it sound like we were in chorus. I heard myself scream mama, but I could hear my grandmother scream for my great-grandmama mama. And it was as if we were chorusing together in that moment. I will never forget that.
Wow.
Even in my own ears, it was so surreal. Yes. I was in pain, but I recognized that it was something spiritual going on right then in that very moment. But God is good. God is good. And that was the catharsis when I wrote the chapter. And I wrote it. I had started writing it before I went to Florida. And then I wrote it in my mother's library amidst all her books, amidst all the people that meant so much to her that were either in the land of the living or gone on. My mother was an English teacher. And she has a library, and I wrote it in the back room in the library amongst her things in her home. Mm-hmm. It was totally different from when I was writing here in East Chicago. It didn't even have the same flavor or anything. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And my father was in the den in that chair. And I said, Dad, I said, it's taken a different course. And he said, do you feel like it's because you're home? And I said, indeed, I think it's because I'm home. I'm getting a whole different vibe. And I'm a person that's long-winded, verbose, and I don't like to be stuck to a word count. And you had me on a word count. Girl, I had to write succinctly. Every word had to count. I was like, Lord Jesus, how can I say everything that I need to say? Say it with power and authority and make it flow. And putting me on that, tethering me, had me to write with more power.
Yes.
And it's as if how we live our life. Mm-hmm. Where we're not just out here floating, but we live our life purposefully. And I just thank God for that. Since then, I joined a grief group at my church.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to go regularly because I was working as a radio hostess at a station in Gary, 1390, mm-hmm. 92.7 FM. And so it kind of conflicted sometimes, but that was very meaningful to me. And matter of fact, I gifted my whole group this book.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing the word. Yes.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. My pastor has written a manual for us as members of the group. And to hear people talk about losing husbands and children and spouses and mothers, that's my tribe.
Yes.
I remember how long do I get degree where nobody think I'm being weirded out? Mm-hmm. You know, like And my girlfriend, who's a pastor, a co-pastor of her husband's church in Atlanta, said, Val, when you're in those types of group, that is your tribe. You get to talk about that for as long as you need to talk about that.
Absolutely.
If it's 15 years in, they understand that. They're not going to think, well, that's weird because you keep crying and grieving over someone. My father today had a bad day, and he said, my daughter, he texted me, my daughter, I'm having a very bad day. Some days are worse than others, mm-hmm. and I'm having a very bad day, and I just want you to know that. I had to take care of myself. So you know what I did? I gave him a word to let him know, blessed are those they who mourn, for they shall be comforted, that this emotion too will pass, just like what the word said, this will pass. But what I did not do was pick up the phone and engage that, because I knew if I engaged that at where I'm at today, that could possibly bring me down. And you'll be amazed at what the things, rainy weather or cold overcast days or a song can be triggers. And I was like, I'm going to get to daddy, but right now I have to take care of myself. And I'm learning that you have to take care of yourself in order to help take care of others. It is very important, just like Michelle said, for what I've been doing, I've been working on my health. I too have battled with sickness. I had been diagnosed with sarcoidosis. You remember when I was extremely obese, that had to do with me taking all that prednisone. And when you do feel like your life force is leaving you, you can tell it's almost unto death. My pulmonary specialist was at Northwestern, the same place where Bernie Mac, who mm-hmm. also who died of sarcoid, got his treatment. And my doctor said, Ms. Davis, I thought you was one of those who would not respond to treatment. So I knew what you were saying, but you could say that professionally, but I knew what it felt like about leaving here. And so during this pandemic, I have been really trying to be proactive. I have not just going to the doctor in reference to my injuries on the job, but mm-hmm. doing something that I hadn't done in a while, which was all kind of blood work tests, everything.
And it's so important that we do that, and that's part of taking care of ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. That's an outgrowth of taking care of myself. That's an outgrowth. I have lost 40 pounds. If you looked at me last August, I was in a prayer circle and my pastor took a picture of us in the prayer circle. I was 3 times bigger. That is the pain on top of pain of my grieving. Yep. And when I wrote about it, I said, okay, this story is not over. I'm going to really try to take off this weight that's so easily besetting me so I can run this race with patience. Mm-hmm. So I did. I purposefully got on keto. Now I'm off of it and I'm planning to do some other things, but I pulled 40 pounds off of me because that was a physical manifestation of a spiritual and emotional pain. I had started back smoking. I let the smoking go, but what I did was substitute. It's like a person that's an alcoholic or addict, and then they substitute from eating more, drinking a lot of coffee, right, doing other things that could be detrimental to them, even as they're trying to get on that journey or that path to overcoming. And so I'm very proud to say I am 40 pounds lighter. I am proud to say that I am really working hard to lean on God, to pray more. I've been a part of a prayer circle. There are people that have been close to me that have battled with COVID. Mm-hmm. And I've had the opportunity, privilege to battle in the spirit realm in terms of being an intercessor and a prayer warrior. The more that I pray and get closer to God, the more I feel like He will keep my mind in perfect peace. Because if you dwell on this stuff too much, it'll have you batty. So there's only so much of I will take in from the news, because I don't. The law of attraction says that I have to think on the things that are just the pure, the lovely, and so forth. Not to put my head in the sand like an ostrich, but I have to ingest those things that are productive, and so that I could do an output. So I have been doing things like that. Since in a year, I got a chance to work with a program called Jasmine Project, where I taught creative writing. One of the members of our grief group daughter committed suicide. Her name was Jasmine. She died at age 15. She took her life. And as a result, We at our church have a non-for-profit, and so we have a summer program, and it's called the Jasmine Project, where we teach life skills and different things in order to give kids skills to deal with their emotions and their pain, because they go through a lot. A lot of the things that they have experienced or our experiences are not the things that we experienced.
Absolutely. Yes, that is so true. Yeah. Their lives are so much different than ours.
It's so much different. My youngest baby is 22. She was actually caught up in a protest that she went to where she saw looting. Now, I've been in protests, but I've never seen people busting stuff and looting. And she said, Mom, I think I'm still struggling with that. That really did something to her psyche to see folks snatching and grabbing and cursing and taking and mayhem and bedlam and mayhem in the streets, like lawlessness and no law and order and hatred. Like, you see what I'm saying? So that being said, I'm just trying to do my part in terms of being a good communication specialist, to, as far as the written word, the spoken word, to do my part in terms of helping to heal others, but making sure that I stay healed myself, trying to make sure that I keep my physical self up, my mental health up, my spiritual woman up. And if I feel like with me doing that I can be more effective and most effective. Now, one of the questions you had is, what are you doing now?
Yeah.
So what I am working on two books. One I wrote in recent weeks called Hopped on Pops. It's a polarity of Hop on Pop, Hop on Pop by Dr. Zeus, but this is Hopped, H-O-P-P-E-D, on Pops, P-O-P-S. And it has the rhyme scheme, type rhyme scheme, but Dr. Zeus had no continual narration.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like snippets of scenes that the kids could identify with. So I'm actually in the process of putting together how I visualize the illustrations to be. I thank God I have now found me an illustrator. Oh. And she put me on to an animator where we can all work together, because I want that to be animation. And that is dealing with the protests and the issues globally in terms of race, hate, because it has become a global thing. You see more murals of George Floyd all around the world than right. you probably have of anybody outside of maybe Trayvon Martin.
Right.
You see people screaming and walking in droves from Germany to the UK and elsewhere, Black Lives Matter. So my book is to address how do we talk to our children about these issues, because these kids are very smart and it is affecting them. So that is what I'm doing for that. And I had already started work on The Lost Oyster, which is about 75% illustrated. But God put in my spirit the reason why that, because I was kind of upset and I wanted that book out last year and it didn't happen. And God showed me it wasn't supposed to be out last year. It's supposed to be out this year at the beginning of 2021, because it's a children's book that deals with death and loss. And so it's called The Lost Oyster. And I have to make some changes in the ending in order to include COVID-19. But it's almost finished in terms of illustration and such. And so I'm trying to make sure that, as Toni Morrison said, if you don't see the book out there that you want to read, you write it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so that's what I'm working on. And it's something for all of us, all ages, not just the children, but for the child in you, the child in you that needs to be healed, for the adult that's still very much grieving different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's an allegory, and it's something that would touch any of us, no matter what our age. I had written this story before my mom passed, and I read it not as a writer or spectator, but a receiver. and it was my own words, but I know that they had been influenced by God. Sure. And when I read it, I just broke down and started crying because I was like, oh my gosh, I was writing something for myself that hadn't happened, like as if prophetically in the future, mm-hmm. and something that would be like a balm in Gilead, even for me. So I'm really excited about that. It's called The Lost Oyster. It's an allegory and it's dealing with death and triumph over death and how do you deal with your emotions and what does all of this mean for children and how do we come together as a family and close rank in a very healthy way when someone leaves us, whether it's through violence or if it's the natural progression of life, the circle of life where it's time to go, like a John Lewis. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at John Lewis. I did my tributary post today. I waited. And what I noticed is a lot of people put a post where he's dancing. He was dancing. Like, I was like, I never knew he was a dancer. And that struck me because
I didn't either.
You listen, a lot of people have posts like things that they went to or whatever. He loved to dance. He wasn't a very good dancer. Rest in peace. But he wasn't.
Okay.
But he was so joyful. He was so joyful. And I'm like, how do you dance when you see so much atrocity and hate and you still have that dance in your spirit? You know, like that's really speaking to me right about now. And one of the songs that he said he loved John Legend's song about be happy and right. dancing without a roof, like you dancing as if you have no roof. And he was like, he said, let nothing get me down. That's really strong words from somebody who's been through a lot of hatred. So where does that leave us that are here still? What do we do in terms of the hate and the malice that are out here in the street? Because there are a lot of ways to die. Dying is not just about laying down in a hospital bed or being shot in the street and right. or somebody putting their knee on your neck. There are thousands of ways to die. And some of us die bit by bit, slow by slow. How do you live and live life more abundantly when there are so many things that can make you die emotionally, spiritually, right.
I mean, it's a lot. I mean, it's not just your physical death, like indeed. You're talking about, but there are other ways that you can grieve, you can lose.
Yes.
And so just you're talking about the world and the combination of all the things, what's going on in our communities is just one way that people are still grieving in this world.
Yes, and you see the anger. We are really capitalizing on that anger right now, and that is one of the stages of grief. And so how do we turn that anger into purpose where we don't get harmed even more so when we're standing toe-to-toe with someone who's in a shield and strapped with an AK-47? And you know what I'm saying? And how do we channel our anger when all we want to do is just take bricks and throw them through the window or beat up someone because we're tired in our spirit, man?
I'm not sure we can really answer that right now. I mean, because there are so many layers to what that looks like. I mean, because it's power and control and it's grief. It's a bunch of different stuff all connected to that. And so I don't even know if we have a real answer for that because it is so much.
But you know what? Part of the answer is someone acknowledging it like what you just did. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times people want to judge and say, that is so ignorant. Why would you tear up your own neighborhood? Why are you doing this and why are you doing that? It's, well, why did I eat myself to 60 pounds, 75 pounds? Why did I begin to start smoking again when I was grieving? Why was I doing this and why was I doing that? It's like you're responding sometimes rotely. You understand what I'm saying? It's like you're not even cognizant of what your body is involuntarily right.
sure.
doing.
Sure.
And so it takes somebody to just say, I see this, no judgment zone. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. Let me redirect your anger to this. Can we do that? can't, you understand what I'm saying? And sometimes
it's not just about anger, it's about so many other emotions that is connected to what pain looks like, right? What pain, you know, it's so many other things that is that it, it's so many other things that it, it's connected to that it's not always words.
That's right. And it's like, how do I come up out of victimization? How do I come out of victimization as a victor? Is this what it looks like for me? Like you said, it's so layered, it's so complex. And but it's things that we all have to do our part.
I agree. And Michelle, I know you're still here, but I'm excited about this conversation. I'm excited about this author interview because Val is bringing up so many things that are so pertinent to what grief looks like. I just want to bring you back into the fold, you know, so that I can kind of get your idea. I mean, because we're talking about all these things that are connected to grief, and I'm
well, like when she said, you know, we have to do our part, because when I was on a talk last week with several women, that's one of the things that I said, you know, and I think in distinguishing our part, our mm-hmm. part is never what God's part is. And there are so many okay. questions and things that we cannot do, but our part is so important. And so I don't think we should feel helpless. We should really, you know, me personally, I have learned to really scale back and really figure out what I can do. Because if you look, if you get just consumed by everything around you, you'd be like, what can I do? Because it's this. Mm-hmm. So I really agree when Val said your part. Because that is definitely what I am working to do. Like I said, speaking with others, seeing, you know, how I can connect here, what I can do, what I can offer. Because that's important right now.
And Michelle, taking care of yourself, because you can't, like how you said earlier, Michelle, you was like, I was doing this, that, and the other, and you felt like in a way that you had become narcissistic about
yes.
it.
Yes.
And so therefore yes. it's like we have to recognize our humanity and what yes. we are not called for. It's okay. Let yes. that other person do it, because that's their yes. part. Do yes. your part, do it well, do it with fervor, but recognize that you have to take care of yourself. Sometimes you yes. have to say no. Sometimes you can't engage and stuff. And that's if you take care of yourself again, then that's how you're able to walk in what you're called to do. Like you said, God will
absolutely.
Do what he is yep. omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent to do, and then he will put our hands to the plow, and we just, you can't plow the whole field now. You just
yep. I agree.
You know, you might have a block to plow up, plow right. that block up and be right. done. You know what I'm saying?
So now you done took us to church.
Let's get it. Indeed. So,
wow. This has been phenomenal. This was more than I had expected. It opened up so much other things connected to how we are trying to triumph over our grief and what that looks like in our world, what it looks like in our community, what it looks like in our own homes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to have a part two.
I think so.
This has been really good.
And can I say one thing? I yes. think why this call was so wonderful is that I think, and it's what I told the women last week, we are connected together as women. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to be vulnerable. We have to understand that we are all going through this. How we handle it will be different. You know, what we do will be different, but we have to connect. Mm-hmm. It's so important. It's so important in that connection. And I truly believe we are not islands. God didn't make it like that.
No.
He didn't make it like that.
I agree. Val, can you tell people how they can connect with you, how they can get in contact with you?
Absolutely. So I have a website. It's CaritasCollection.com, CaritasCollection.com. There you will find books for sale. And you will find out more about me and what I do as an author and a brand ambassador for my company. I can be, my books can be purchased on walmart.com, parenting.com, Book a Million, eBay, Amazon, Barnes and Noble. And I can be reached by email at ihadadream44@gmail.com. ihadadream44. Shout out to Obama, 44th president.
gmail.com. Shout out to Obama. And this has been, I don't know, a collective of information, a collective of dreams and goals that has just kind of come out of this author interview. And I'm so excited that we have connected and we have purpose and we have journey just based on our own grief, but we are helping others as we are expanding, as we are brand ambassadors, as Val said. We are brand ambassadors for what that looks like and how we are continuing to move forward in our own journeys.
I also want to, and I'm sure Michelle will agree with me, we just want to give you kudos. We're watching you, young lady. And you're doing some amazing things.
Absolutely.
I keep
Absolutely.
My eye on what you're doing.
Oh, and it's wow.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You have really soared. You've taken your pain and really walked in your purpose. You always have had that that energy as a counselor. And, you know, that West Side, North Proof, girl, we're being a little different than most people. But it's like the way God is using you. And even your own personal journey in terms of how God has showed you how he's a healer in these last months.
My God.
I can't even wait for that story to be told. But I just thank God for you not just crying in the coffee, but saying, you know what? Let me get busy, because evidently God has put this on my path. And so I've got to take up my bed and walk. And, you know, I'm into that motherhood thing. And I'm so proud of little Nia,
Miss Purpose. Thank you.
And how you are mothering her, how she's walking in your footsteps, but in her own, on her own path as an author, as a healer. And I just ask that God continue to bless you and everything that he's putting in your hand. You're a good steward of it. And I'm just like, look at her. She has just went above and beyond anything I'm sure that she thought would happen when she was grieving for the love of her life. And God has been gracious, and you have been so marvelous. It's just, it's amazing to me. And
oh,
I just say, God bless you.
Thank you. God bless
you, because we need this.
Oh my God, thank you so much. I am like, wow. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really
And you're right, Val. I absolutely agree. And I have really admired her strength in just the vulnerability she has and what she's been doing. I've been watching you.
She does it in such excellence.
Yeah. And I just really believe you do have a word for the world. And you will touch those that need to hear that, because grief is real.
Yes,
it's real, and it's inevitable, and it will continue to be real.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you.
Oh, thank you guys so very much.
Man. Do you remember that time in the parking lot when I we was at Hammond parking lot and I was acting out in my grief, and I was my ex-husband was there, and I was kind of being a little snippy, and you were like,
girl, you remember that?
You had to bring me back, because you out here striking out people who have nothing but your best interests at heart, for real.
Yeah.
And so I just thank you in real time.
When okay.
You pulled me and said,
yes,
that's how we feel friends now.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So thank
that's
you.
Been. That's been a bit ago too, so.
Indeed.
Well, I just thank you wonderful ladies for triumphing over your grief and continuing to move forward in what God had in store for you and what he continues to have in store for you. And so thank you so much for joining the Healing Group Community Podcast. The Healing Group Community Podcast was sponsored by the Healing Group Community LLC, where you will always have your memories. The Healing Group Community LLC focuses on counseling, coaching, and moving you forward past your grief journey. This episode was amazing, and I just thank you guys for joining me this evening. God bless and have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Likewise, ladies. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.